Mrs. Holder, Ms. Tun.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is June Tun, and I represent the petitioner, Mr. Ernesto Delgado. Your Honors, the issue in this case is quite simple. We're here to determine whether the petitioner, Mr. Delgado, received a fair hearing before the immigration judge, Judge Zerbe. And the answer is clearly reflected in the record. He didn't. There's several instances where we can find that Judge Zerbe violated Mr. Delgado's fundamental fairness to have a meaningful opportunity to present his case. There is a constitutional right to be treated fundamentally fair, particularly in removal proceedings. That means that there is a right to a full and fair hearing, which requires that an alien have a reasonable opportunity to examine and present evidence and to cross-examine witnesses. In this case, Mr. Delgado's second United States citizen, Daisy Delgado, was not allowed to testify when the ultimate decision of the case looks to the hardship that she would face if her father were removed from this country.
This is the 11-year-old?
That's correct, Your Honor. This is Daisy Delgado, the second daughter of Mr. Delgado. The first daughter, Guadalupe, was allowed to testify. However, the judge restricted the second daughter when she was ready, willing, and able to testify. And in this case, the hardship directly reflects.
What reason did he give?
Your Honor, the judge stated that he did not need to hear from the witness when the older sister, Guadalupe, and the father had already testified. However, the judge needs to look at the hardship that the daughter would face. And it would be best served if the daughter were given an opportunity to present her testimony. And in this case...
Well, did you present an offer of proof, what she would have testified?
Yes, Your Honor, I did present it, mainly because I was forced to present an offer.
What does the offer of proof say?
The offer of proof states that the respondent's daughter, Daisy, was an 11-year-old who had changed significantly from the previous two hearings in which the immigration judge denied the respondent's application for cancellation of removal. Furthermore, that the respondent, although she's 11 years old, has a right to grow up and be educated in this country. Although she's been on brief vacation.
Well, that's not evidence. She's not going to give testimony that she has a right to be educated in this country.
That's correct, Your Honor.
What's the offer of proof? That is, what would she have testified to?
She would have testified, Your Honor, that she has been to Mexico on a couple occasions in which she went for a brief vacation. That in no way indicates that she would be able to adjust her life to a country in which...
But is that an issue in dispute? Doesn't the administrative law, the immigration judge, know that? What would she have testified to that was not already part of the record?
She would have been able to testify, Your Honor, directly that she doesn't really comprehend the Spanish language, although her father and her siblings communicate with the father.
But is that in question, that she doesn't know Spanish?
That is in question, Your Honor, because when the judge looks at...
Does the immigration judge think she's fluent in Spanish?
The immigration judge stated that the second daughter knew enough Spanish to go ahead and relocate to a country like Mexico and start her education, whereas she's been in this country and been educated in the English language. Although she may have the capabilities of speaking to her siblings and to her parents in Spanish, that in no way indicates whether or not she'll be able to learn, be educated in the Spanish language.
How can her testimony be illuminating on that? What does an 11-year-old know about how fast she can improve her Spanish if she's living in Mexico?
Well, Your Honor, I believe that the 11-year-old would be the best person to indicate whether or not she could learn. She could explain to the judge.
What does an 11-year-old know about her learning abilities?
She can testify, Your Honor, to the capabilities that she has here in the United States, how fast she learns in the English language, how slow it is for her to
How fast she learned English? How's she going to... How long has she been in the United States?
She was born in the United
States. Well, all right, so how is she going to give testimony about how she learned English? I mean, that's ridiculous.
Your Honor, respectfully, in comparison...
Born in the United States, did she go to a regular school?
Yes, Your Honor, but respectfully...
So she learned English. But how is she going to... How is an 11-year-old going to be able to use her... what she remembers of her learning English... to offer testimony on how hard it will be for her to learn more Spanish? That doesn't sound like realistic testimony from an 11-year-old.
The 11-year-old is different from the 17-year-old, Your Honor, in that the 11-year-old...
Yes, I know, but the differences are known. The question is, what is her testimony? What would her testimony have been? You don't get much from an 11-year-old. It's not as if you're asking her, you know, were you hit by that man? Asking her how difficult would it be for her to improve her Spanish if she were in Mexico? How could an 11-year-old give meaningful testimony about that?
Well, Your Honor, the 11-year-old could testify that in the occasions in which she visited Mexico, that she was unable to understand and unable to communicate with family members.
Is that in doubt? Is that in question? Does the immigration judge think she, when she visits Mexico, she converses fluently with the Mexicans?
Your Honor, the immigration judge stated that her brief visits to Mexico and that her limited language with her parents at home using Spanish would allow her to adjust her life in Mexico. And in
that may be right or wrong, but how could she provide illuminating testimony on her ability to assimilate into Mexico?
Your Honor, I believe that the respondent's daughter would have been, I'm sorry, the petitioner's daughter would have been able to tell the judge whether or not she understood her grandparents, whether
she didn't her sister testify to this?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Didn't her sister say all of this about her younger sister?
Her sister spent a majority of her testimony testifying about herself and stated that her younger sister, Daisy, did have a lesser knowledge of Spanish and that she has difficulty communicating with her parents at home.
And so the judge knew that. He just thought, I don't know what he thought, but was it really necessary? I think it's pretty apparent. That's what the older girl testified. She's fluent in both languages, apparently. Apparently the younger one's fluent in English and not too good in Spanish. And I guess the visits back to Mexico were to the grandfather, is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah, so whatever ability to communicate. And the father, how much English does the father speak?
The father testified entirely in Spanish, Your Honor.
Okay, so he doesn't speak English.
No? He doesn't, Your Honor.
So all of this hardship issue with him raises one question with me, and that's the wife, who you say parenthetically here, she's not legal either.
That's correct, Your Honor.
What's her status?
She doesn't have any status as well, Your Honor. However, the wife was not under proceedings, and so the wife was not questioned. It was merely the husband who was the respondent in this matter.
Is he going back to Mexico, or is she continuing?
Well, the family still resides here in Chicago, Your Honor.
Well, of course, these proceedings never end. We know that. But is it her intention to go back to Mexico?
Her intention.
Stay here as an illegal alien?
Well, Your Honor, of course she doesn't want to stay here as an illegal alien. However, her three children, United States citizens, have the right to be educated here, and she wants to provide her oldest daughter, one who just graduated from high school with honors, the opportunity to proceed with the medical career that she chose.
Does he have a brother here?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Does he have, or is it she that has a brother here?
It's the petitioner in this case that has a brother here.
He has a brother here. So if we're I don't want to get push comes to shove. But anyway, if the older daughter would have an opportunity at least to stay with relatives if she decided to stay in the United States, wouldn't she?
That's correct, Your Honor. However, the older daughter did testify that although she does have an uncle here, that the uncle has children and a family of his own, that she wouldn't be able to receive the same type of help that she would.
Is she going to college?
Yes, she is, Your Honor.
Okay, well, she can visit her family in Mexico during the vacations. I mean, there are a lot of foreign students in the United States. Loads of foreign students in the United States. There's just an article about the colleges love foreign students because they pay the full tuition. So these kids, they go to school here, and presumably they either stay with friends that whom they meet in college, or they go back to their country during holidays. It's not a hardship situation. I understand that.
It is, Your Honor, when you weigh it, it as a whole, in that she does have two younger siblings, and she would be separated for long periods of time from her younger siblings, who are United States citizens.
What do you mean? Wait, separate? What are you talking about?
The two children who are not emancipated now, the 11-year-old who is now 14 and the 4-year-old who is now 6 years of age, would presumably accompany the parents back to Mexico. Right. And in that case, the older daughter, she would face hardships. She's grown up.
Oh, come on. Look, if that's hardship that cancels removal, you're never going to have any removals, except of criminals, right? Because there's always, obviously, if you send a person to another country, there's going to be hardship. That person doesn't want to be in another country. You can't have that as some automatic ground for cancellation.
That is correct, Your Honor, and I completely agree with you.
What's special about this case? This would be the absolute run-of-the-mill case.
What's special in your case, Your Honor, is that the immigration judge walked in and had already predetermined the case. This case has been sitting with the removal courts for 10 years, in which the board sent the case back on two occasions.
Which, of course, is very fortunate for the Delgados.
It was very fortunate for the Delgados, however, but it was not the fault of the Delgados, and they should not be punished.
It's not their fault. They benefited from these interminable delays.
But
now the girl is in college, so she's taken care of anyway.
Yes, Your Honor, but Mr. Delgado did have a right to appeal. He did not violate anything by appealing, and it's clear that the judge, Judge Zerbe, had punished the petitioner for appealing his cases. In fact, he stated that he's denying voluntary departure because he anticipated.
Okay. Thank you. Your time has expired. Here. So we'll hear from Ms. Smith.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Dara Smith and I represent the Attorney General. The only reviewable claim in this case is the constitutional claim that Mr. Delgado was denied due process of law. This claim lacks merit because he's not shown that he was deprived of a meaningful opportunity to present his case, he hasn't shown that the immigration judge was biased, and he hasn't shown that he was prejudiced in any way by the immigration judge's actions. As this Court has noted on several occasions, to establish a due process violation, a petitioner from removal proceedings has to show a violation of a statutory or regulatory provision under the INA, and that those regulations and statutory provisions are synonymous with due process in this Court. Mr. Delgado has not alleged any specific statutory violation, although this Court has generally treated the allegation of a due process violation as the same as an allegation of violating one of those provisions. He's also not shown any prejudice in this case. In fact, the agency was particularly careful to make sure that Mr. Delgado received the full process necessary and was able to submit all the evidence he wanted to submit in this case. There was a 2004 hearing in which he presented evidence of hardship. The board remanded because there was an error in the tape and indicated that the judge should give a new decision to make sure that there was a correct hearing. After the immigration judge interpreted that remand order as not indicating that new proceedings were required, but just that a new transcript was required, the board again remanded the case and said, no, you need to take new evidence. You need to make sure that, you know, all of this evidence is current. And so there was an entirely new hearing in 2010 in which Mr. Delgado was permitted to testify again, to have his daughter testify again, to give any documentary evidence necessary. And Then on appeal to the board, in fact, the board reversed the denial of voluntary departure that my colleague was just mentioning, finding that that wasn't a correct interpretation of what willingness to leave the country meant, and that, you know, he hadn't violated any of these requirements by appealing his case. And so the agency was extremely careful to make sure that he was able to present all the evidence that he wanted to present on multiple occasions. It's true that the immigration judge said at one point, I think we can hear from one daughter or the other. But first of all, as Your Honors pointed out, Guadalupe Delgado testified about the hardship that her younger sister was expected to endure. And the immigration judge didn't disagree with anything she said, didn't put that into contention such that her testimony would have been necessary to help. Also, there was no objection after the first daughter testified. Counsel didn't say, okay, but there's something that hasn't been presented here. Let's bring the second daughter to the stand. Has never indicated what she would have said, and in fact, at the end of proceedings said, yes, there's nothing further. So there's no indication that there was anything that was excluded from the record, let alone anything that would have been prejudicial.
I have maybe a parenthetical question, but it's a curiosity here. Apparently neither Mr. or Mrs. are legal, right? Do they have any legal status?
No, Your Honor, they don't.
Now, both of them, he drove a forklift for 10 or 12 years, and she worked at a gas station.
That's correct.
So I assume both of them are working for some sort of a corporate entity.
That appears to be the case.
I just wondered, did anybody look into this? Are they paying taxes? Do they have Social Security numbers?
They do, Your Honor. The record reflects that they were paying their taxes.
Then they do have Social Security numbers.
I think that's
correct. I don't understand this. That's why I'm
asking.
Sure,
sure.
Maybe there's some kind of a status you get where you actually are, you pay taxes and they're properly withheld and paid.
That's correct. You can get a Social Security number even if you're not a citizen, even if you're not a lawful permanent resident, for the purpose of having Social Security withheld, paying your taxes, things like that, even if you don't have lawful status.
You can get that. Okay, that answers my parenthetical question.
That's correct, Your Honor. The only remaining issues beyond the due process issue in this case relate to the hardship claim, which are precluded from this court's review by INA 242A2BI. And if the court has no further questions, thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you to Ms. We'll move on to our last case, which